You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm delighted to say joining me on the Saturday edition is Ross Briley. Ross, great to see you as always.
Yes, you too, Bobby. How have you been, all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Celebrating my birthday this week as well.
Oh, yeah.
33 years old now.
33.
Yeah, double carpet.
You don't look a day over 23.
Thank you very much. You are my favourite person who now works here at William Hill.
you haven't aged really, have you? You're still very fresh-faced.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you've got two. You've got two kids. You look remarkably fresh-faced.
Do I know what the secret is?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of fruit and veg.
Yeah.
Plenty of water.
Yeah.
And sleep where you can.
Sleep where you can. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. As long as you're not driving.
No, definitely not. Back onto racing though. This afternoon, we saw a Potemps qualifier, which was the 2:05 at Exeter. And you want to have a bit of a word about this race?
Well, just in terms, it is that time of year looking for angles and horses and various bits and bobs. And it looked like an absolute cracker of a race. Won by Flem Cara, who'd built on that for that good run at Sandown for Emma Lavelle. But a couple of horses. I mean, Manila Rocco finished ninth, but ran an absolute blinder. But the horse I was really interested in is, just keep an eye on Culture de Civilla wherever she goes. She's entered in the Potemps. She finished fifth. She was held up at the back. She got outpaced at a crucial point. But her best form has come when she's been given a bit more of a test. So I think a big field and a big strong pace at Cheltenham. If she's anywhere near the front 10, mm-hmm. Coming to the bottom of the hill, I can see her staying on strongly. So she's a little bit interesting, I thought. I thought that was that's the one horse that's got in the tracker today.
And earlier on Friday morning, it was announced that the anti-post favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup presenting Percy will not run in the Bobby Joe.
It's going to be such a big ask, isn't it? Such a big ask to go and win the Gold Cup after the prep that this horse has had. To be fair, if one man can do it, presenting Percy is in the right hands with Patrick Kelly, because he, if anything, his horses run better. The less they run, the better they do on the day. So it will be remarkable, but the horse is clearly remarkable. So bit of a blow potentially, but I don't know. He's just one of those trainers that he just seems to pull rabbits out of hats all the time. So who knows?
If he does win the Cheltenham Gold Cup, he would have won for the third consecutive year at the Cheltenham Festival. In your honest opinion, is he the winner of the Gold Cup this year?
I honestly don't know. Normally, I absolutely love this race, but given abandonments and the constant focus on him, it's been very hard to really get an angle on anything else. I honestly don't. I don't have a huge opinion. I kind of hope he does, just because he's the one horse in the race that could potentially put in a world class performance. So the rest of them, Grinders is a bit harsh, but they're definitely your Native Rivers and your Clanders Oboes are a bit less flashy than presenting Percy. So, God, it'd be lovely to see him win, but it's a big ask for him.
And looking ahead to Saturday afternoon's action, what will your selections be?
A few horses for you, Mr. B. I quite like Bags Groove in the Pendle Novices Chase at Kempton. I think he's a lovely, lovely horse. Won three on the bounce, Foss Lass and then Wincanton and Huntingdon in good company. We can definitely forgive him his defeat last time out. He stepped up into very hot company, stepped up in trip as well. He has to give way to all his rivals here, but I think he's a class act, so I think Bags Groove's very interesting, chopping back in trip. There's an interesting race at Lingfield 350, a mile handicap. Small field, but I thought Main Street was interesting. This horse has won its one and only start over this trip. It's 3 from 4 on the all weather. Sorry, 2 from 3 on the all weather. Now with David Ellsworth, outclassed last time, but down in grade, down in trip, second run for the yard. I think he could be underrated in the market. And there's a horse, I can't remember the last time I tipped a bumper horse, Bobby. But sleight of hand went in the notebook last time out. Finished third at Wincanton on Boxing Day. Didn't have a clue what was going on for the vast majority of the race. Then stayed on really, really nicely under James Bowen. Looked all over an improver behind one of Paul Nicholls' well-backed favourites. The second Now Look At Me won cosily next time out. So the form looks rock solid. And he was just it was a classic never nearer improve next time out. Ned Curtis takes the ride. He's got a really, really good record for the yard in these races. So, yeah, I thought he was very interesting. So Bags Groove, Main Street and Sleight of Hand.
So normally when we have two selections, you're giving us three here.
Giving you three. Well,
Ross Brightle, everybody.
You know, spread the wealth. Absolutely.
Fantastic. And what we're going to do now here on the podcast, we're going to hear from one of the traders here at William Hill, which is Jamie McBride, ahead of the markets for Saturday afternoon's racing. So, Jamie, good to see you, as always. A busy afternoon of racing on Saturday. And first of all, we'll start with Kempton. Kempton's 150. It is the Pendle Norris's Chase. Just the four going to post, though.
There are just the four runners, but you can make a case for all four. So it's a trappy little event. Bags Groove and Secret Investor look like vying for favouritism. But you can make a case for the other two, Goodman Pat and Castafiore. I was actually lucky enough to visit Harry Fry's yard early in the week and saw Bags Groove do a bit of work and school over some fences. They seemed happy with him. They actually ran against each other early in the season in the Rising Star at Wincanton. Bags Groove won that fairly easily, but Secret Investor's got a bit of a pull at the weights, yeah, and he's probably improved since, so there shouldn't be too much between them.
The 225 is the Adonis Grade 2, 13 go to post here. Is it going to be a win for Nicky Henderson, Dal Jacob?
I'm not sure. The vibes are quite positive surrounding Vusel Raffles. We're laying bits and pieces of 33-1 for the Triumph, and Henderson's been quite positive about him, but he's also said that you might need softer ground. So 2 miles around Kempton might just be too much of a test of speed for him. But if he's going to be a player in the Triumph, he probably has to win this. But it's a competitive event. We'll probably lose Song for Someone, who ran this afternoon on Friday afternoon. So we'll probably be down to 12 runners. But it's not often you get 12 runners in the Adonis, and it's going to be sort of 4-1 the field. So it's a competitive enough little race. But as I say, if Fusel Raffles is going to be a Triumph horse, he should really be beating these.
Has there been much market moves at the minute at all, Jamie, in the Adonis?
We've seen bits and pieces for a few. Bits for Echo. He ran in the German Derby last summer, and he's probably, I presume, Cobden's had the choice to ride him over Red Force One, who's another decent flat performer. He's rated 89 on the flat, so presumably Echo's pleasing at home. Alan King also runs 2. Wynn Hutchinson rides Preceps, but the market seems to suggest that Giving Glances has got more chance. She's been quite well supported at around 6-1.
The 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon at Kempton is the 2019 renewal of the Dove Curtain. Angel's Breath runs in this particular race. Of course, very impressive for the Nicky Henderson yard on his debut for him back in December.
He was very impressive. He beat Danny Kerwin, who's a very expensive purchase from the point-to-point field. And he beat Seddon, who's since ran well in a really competitive handicap. To do that on his debut was very, very impressive. He's got the £5 penalty here, which makes life tougher against a good rival like Scarlet Dragon. You could maybe say a quick 2 miles round Kempton would suit Scarlet Dragon more than Angel's Breath, who's come from the point-to-point field. But as I say, he was so impressive on debut there. Wouldn't be in a hurry to take him on anytime soon. He's likely to go off odds on, and it could be a win here and then on to the Supreme Novices.
I'm interested by the Grade 3 handicap chase happening at Kempton, the 3.35. I think we need to mention first, before we get market movers in that particular race, is that if Glenn Rocco performs how he did over course and distance last time out, that gives him a leading chance again.
It certainly does. 23-length winner. He's a young, progressive. So the handicapper may struggle to catch up with him. There's lots to like. In his previous race before that, he ran against Glenn Forza, so that form obviously looks very good now. Yep, no negatives. Got a leading chance.
Any market moves in there?
Talk is cheap, is one I quite like as well, and he has been well backed since we went since the final field. He was available at a 6-1 this time yesterday, but he's into around 9-2. Again, he's another one who looks. This is his handicap debut, but the handicapper may have taken a bit of a chance, giving him 1.45. He's got good form with leading novices like Lost in Translation and the Nicky Anderson horse who beat him last time. I think he could be well handicapped.
The Ida Chase meeting is also on Saturday afternoon as well, up at Newcastle, and I'm right in saying that it's going to be enhanced placings again here at William Hill.
Yeah, we're going to be 7 places from 5.30 on Friday, which will be an industry leading offer, so every incentive to have a each way bet in the race.
How's the betting going so far for this year's Ida?
Vicente's popular at the moment. You can see why. He's well handicapped on his best form. Drying ground will suit. It'll be an unusual Ida chase, so the ground won't be too bad. It's probably good to soft and drying all the time. And obviously, Paul Nichols was unstoppable last Saturday, so he's going to be very popular.
And on the all-weather, it is the Winter Derby at Lingfield, the 3.15. Is anybody seeing past Wickahickon at all?
They're not, no. He's going to be around 1-3, and there's only 7 runners, so there's no great each-way angle to the race either, so it'd probably be one of the quieter betting heats of the day, and it's very hard to see the Gosson horse getting beat.
Yeah, I agree with Wissahickon, definitely the one to beat. He's always impressed me ever since he won the Cambridgeshire last year.
Yes, he was a very good performance to win the Cambridgeshire from that rating, and he won despite traffic problems last time on the all-weather. He's probably one of the best horses ever to run on the all-weather in the UK. And he should be hard to beat tomorrow, and then it'll be on to the Easter Classic.
Certainly will be indeed. As always, Jamie, great to catch up with you here, and thank you for giving us all the movers, the market movers, should I say, ahead of Saturday afternoon's racing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob. My pleasure.
Don't forget tuning to William Hill Racing Radio live on Saturday afternoon, when you can hear all of the afternoon's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.